Market disruption, what is not to like about the concept of disrupting your marketplace and making great gains profitably and growth-wise from your customers and working with all the stakeholders within your marketplace, surprising, maybe even shocking the market as you do so. There is an old phrase, isn't there? Something like, and I'm going to paraphrase this because it probably isn't particularly accurate, but you'll kind of get what I mean, that if you continue to do the same thing and expect the same or expect different results, it is the definition of insanity. So to change things is to move the game forward. And that's really the essence of what we mean when we talk about market disruption. It's about doing something out of the ordinary, doing something different, because then that just by its nature, and particularly in very, very traditional or stagnant or commodity marketplaces and sectors, that's the way to change. That is the way to move the game forward. And that is the way to move from a different position in the marketplace. So maybe if you're a market follower, or maybe you're a niche player and you want to grow, you want to establish something, then market disruption is a really big opportunity for you that can help you to drive results. So market disruption is all about taking a strategic approach to the impact that you and your brand have in your marketplace, and to then grow as a basis of, or from the basis of doing that. So what we're going to look at actually as we go through this session is how to lead market innovation, how to redefine what potentially your customers expect, how to, well, rock the boat, so to speak, with all the stakeholders, the suppliers, the resellers, and obviously with your customers, and change their expectations, change their perception of what your kind of organization does. This is market disruption. This is actually changing the status quo. The only way to win is to learn faster than anyone else. Eric Ries, author of The Lean Startup, said that quote. And so this is about learning. Okay, a lot of people think market disruption is about a big campaign that goes viral and everything changes. It kind of is, but that's a subset of what we're talking about here. It is much more strategic. In other words, it's much more about looking at the longer term. It's also about getting a really deep understanding of the now, what is actually happening now, and also significantly and really importantly, what you can then and what you should then do about it. So there's a bit of listening, there's a bit of planning, there's a bit of thinking, there's a bit of kind of watching, and then you need to take action. So when you see market disruption, I've got some really great examples, some obvious, maybe some not so obvious, of some big brands who have actually done this and changed everything within their marketplace. You might look at them and think, oh, well, that was just an overnight success. Oh, they just did this or they just did that. But deep beneath the hood is a whole range of things, activities, thinking, strategies, and planning that have happened to make that front-facing, that customer-facing bit look like it was easy. Okay, so the beauty of market disruption, if you get this right, is you make it look easy, but it is not easy. But it can be easier if you plan it. So what we're looking to do here, and this is kind of the definition, if you like, of market or marketing disruption. Doesn't really matter. These terms can be used interchangeably, but disrupting the status quo of where you are right now. It is about challenging and transforming existing market structures, business models, and typically customer experiences. So it's really changing the game. I was very fortunate early in my career to spend some time in a telecoms company who basically decided at launch that they were not able to take on the two big incumbents who had a kind of 50-50 market share. They neither had the brand awareness, they didn't have the depth of spend available, they didn't have the focus or attention on them. So they basically decided, and I was part of this journey, to create a brand new market. Do something completely different, throw all the kind of the dice up into the air and see how they land. And it was a fundamental shift in the way that customers perceived mobile telecoms. So this is quite a few years ago now, but it was just so fascinating to watch this play out. And there was nothing the two big players could do about it. And that's what makes market disruption so fun and so exciting as a marketer, a content creator, a business developer, or a business owner even. This is what makes it really fun, is because you can be a bit cheeky, you can be a little bit naughty, you can be a little bit kind of controversial, potentially. Obviously, there are boundaries, but you can have a bit of fun with this. It is all about challenging. So it's challenging the market structure, the business models, and the customer experiences. And disruption will be vital in most industries now, in the current economic conditions, the way that politics is playing out, sustainability, all of these kinds of things. Market disruption is going to be crucial. We are going to have to do things differently to differentiate, and also for our own businesses and organizations to see sustainable growth. So I believe, and my prediction will be, you cannot carry on just doing what you do. It is time now, no matter where you sit in the organization in terms of seniority, no matter where you sit in terms of the specialism or the job function that you have, it is time to rethink what it is you're doing and encouraging others to do so as well. So challenging ourselves to go better, deeper, faster, more efficient, more smart in the way we do stuff, and to differentiate. So don't just accept, well, we've always done it this way, so that is how we are as a business. That is no longer going to be good enough. So it's time to wake up. So there are lots of different concepts, lots of different models and ways of doing this market disruption. In other words, you know, rattling the cage, doing something differently, waking up one morning and say, we're going to change this stuff up. One of the probably the biggest market disruptors on the planet is a chap you might have heard of him called Elon Musk. Now, if you think about what he has done in the space race, if you think what he's done in financial services with the likes of PayPal, if you think obviously what he's achieving with electric vehicles and a whole host of other things that he's working on, you just think he is a natural born thoroughbred disruptor. But you think about it, actually, it's not just about the noise. It's not just about the marketing spin at the front end. You think about what he does behind the scenes, how he motivates the people to do things differently, how he will completely restructure a very successful business. He'll shake it up, reinvent it, and it'll come out looking bigger, sharper, more focused, more dynamic. So if you just think disruption, Elon Musk is a really great example. And what we're doing here is we are thinking about, and there's, if you want to read more deeply in this, the first model I'm going to suggest you have a little look at here is Clayton Christensen's concept of disruptive innovation. And this is something, again, that Elon Musk does so, so well. He will look and see the core capabilities or competencies of his organizations. And he'll say, actually, we need to rethink that. It's successful at the moment, but in the future, we need to innovate. We need to be doing things sharper, smarter, faster, more efficiently. And we need to add new features and benefits and outcomes for our customers. We need to get them to think differently. We need them to understand that we're moving this game forward and you can come with us on that journey. So that's typically what we're looking at here. And often it's driven by technology. It's driven by the opportunity in the moment, just because all the stars align. But then it's what you're going to do about it. So we've seen a lot of examples of typical kind of market disruption in this way. If you think about Uber, most of us have used Uber at some point, and you think about how Uber has disrupted traditional taxi services. It's in the palm of your hand. The service is incredibly sort of efficient. Within minutes, you get a particular vehicle of your choice turning up. You can see the review of the driver in advance. It's not like hailing a black cab in London, where you don't know who the driver's going to be, you know, kind of what the service is going to be like, but you're not really sure how long it's going to take to get there. You can't track them necessarily on the app in the palm of your hand, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So Uber have disrupted traditional urban travel, if you like, in many, many ways. And of course, they continue to add Uber boats. There'll be Uber, urban helicopters coming shortly, so they continue to innovate. So they're disrupting the innovations by saying, okay, we can see the core of the root problem here, but we're going to rethink it. We're going to properly differentiate what we do. So we're opening up a whole new market. And just watch others in our wake falling by the wayside. Dollar Shave Club versus Gillette. You might have read about this one. It's a few years ago now, but again, just completely changing the way that a man would shave potentially. And rather than a guy sort of, buying a razor in the typical kind of Gillette kind of way, where you buy a razor or whatever, it might be a manual one or a it could be electric shaver. Dollar Shave Club was all about subscription and said, look, we know you're going to be doing this every day in terms of your sort of personal grooming. So therefore, actually, we're going to disrupt the marketplace. We're not going to just wait for you to then buy the next product. We're actually going to introduce a subscription model. So we'll keep in touch with you. We'll keep drip feeding you with, the ideal shaving accessories and products. So you can just sit back and enjoy your day. You don't need to worry about this. We'll take care of it through a subscription model. I mean, what a way to disrupt a marketplace, but of course, appealing to the need of the customer, which is it's a bit of a necessity, but it's not the most exciting part of most of our days, shaving. But Dollar Shave Club made it that way because they took away that pain point, that hassle that it would be to not have a subscription. So they added that in. Airbnb, another amazing example, very similar actually in lots of ways to the Uber example, challenging traditional hotel chains. So Airbnb saying, well, okay, we understand that you don't always want to be staying in a hotel, but what would it be like if you had this real kind of five-star home from home? And actually, you can see around it and you can actually check the ratings of the host. So you can actually decide as a customer just how far you want to push the requirements for that particular particular place that you're going to stay in. And that has really raised the bar. It's very rare now that you would stay in an Airbnb that wasn't exemplary service and that wasn't very, very responsive if you've got a question. We stayed in one recently, and the hairdryer in the drawer in the bedroom of this particular Airbnb wasn't working. It sort of spluttered into life and then just gave up the ghost. So we basically went straight onto the Airbnb app, said, okay, we've got a bit of a problem, no rush, because we don't necessarily need to be using it today. But literally that evening, by courier, their new hairdryer was delivered. Now you could say, well, that's not particularly sort of eco and sustainable and this, that, and the other, but that wasn't part of that particular story. It was all about the efficiency of that. So even though you're staying, privately away from the host made sure that the service was exemplary. Now that, again, for most traditional hotel chains would probably be a little bit of a hassle to be, sending a courier, with a bag, having picked up, the product, et cetera, et cetera. But this brand new product arrived to replace the one that didn't work. So they look at the overall service offering. So when they're innovating, it isn't just about the booking process, it's the end-to-end journey. And this is how we need to think about market disruption. It's a complete holistic experience. It's not just about one little incremental thing. What we're looking to do here is to disrupt in all senses of the word. So we're looking at the whole length of the customer journey from the initial awareness in terms of how you position your brand as being different, as being disruptive, maybe a little bit edgy, maybe just changed, maybe a little bit more energetic and dynamic, but just different to the other offerings. All the way through to building the brand loyalty with that customer because you are different, because you've disrupted. And there's a huge amount of brand credibility that comes with disruption because most consumer demographics and most B2B customer demographics, they like difference. They like the confidence that comes with market disruption. Now, of course, there are boundaries. I said right at the beginning of this, you can't, no, it isn't about anything goes. So you've got to be quite careful how far you're going to push this. So you need to work within brand guidelines, but maybe it's also time for those brand guidelines to be revisited as well, because to work outside of the day-to-day and to push the boundaries on, you've got to revisit those guidelines too, because they might no longer be adequate for this more disruptive position that you're taking. So a few questions for you to think about, really, because one of the things I mentioned a little earlier was, how is technology and technological advancements impacting on your ability to disrupt? You know, we've got AI, we've got all the things like blockchain, you know, there's a whole bunch of new emerging technologies like metaverse and the changing digital landscapes, you know, the Internet of Things, you know, things being objects being and products being connected by internet connectivity. So it's opening up a load of new thinking opportunities. So start by asking the question, what if we were to do that? What might happen? What would the potential benefit be? Start to ask those challenging questions and try, if you can, to not limit yourself by what's gone before, because this is the beauty of disruption. Coming up with a whole new, you know, shift, if you like, in terms of the positioning of your mindset and your colleagues' mindsets to enable then how you can then disrupt how customers and their behaviors and their perceptions of you will change in association with how you're then changing as an organization. So we've got some principles, we've got some key principles about these starting points, because I want to get you started here, because once you start thinking about this, you'll realize very, very quickly it becomes very personal to you. It becomes something that I can't tell you how to disrupt. I can guide you in ways that other organizations and other sectors have tried in the past. And we've got four principles here. And these are the key principles of disruptive marketing, which leads to market disruption. And the first one is customer centricity. In other words, understanding, finding, and then working on unmet customer needs. So when I said at the start that market disruption isn't just about the front end of the campaign or the new branding that you're going to do, it's about actively listening. It's about sensing from your customers some of the things that maybe are going unsaid or unread or unmentioned. So get deep into your research. Watch for those trends. Look at your customers' behaviors and think, are we actually serving everything that our customer kind of needs to solve the problem? Think of Dollar Shave Club, for example. You know, the hassle of actually shaving every day is not necessarily top of our lists as guys, you know, doing our sort of, you know, personal care. And yet Dollar Shave Club said, okay, we'll take that away because we've spotted that actually you guys actually don't generally enjoy doing that as part of your busy day. So that is an unmet customer need that they came in and solved. They just made it easy to do that part of the day. So think about your own customers. Think about the kinds of things that you serve them with. Think about what your competitors do. And see outside of that if there's anything that your customers have just given you a little hint that they might like a bit of support with or a little bit of help with, and then go deep on those things. Customer centricity, principle one of disruptive marketing. Principle two, and this is often a very, very popular one for market disruptors, is simplification, making complex things simple. This is really Elon Musk's way of doing stuff. He will strip things back to the bare basics. It's the engineer in him that does this, because he will be looking at efficiencies. He will be simplifying complex processes. He'll be stripping out the wastage. I mean, just think when he took over Twitter and rebranded as X, you know, the amount of media hype and issues and challenges that the employees and the teams at Twitter at the time were having. You know, he was sacking whole departments and reshifting and reorganizing. But in some ways, this is the simplification that he knows works. So making complex things simple and then relaying those things across the organization as a refocusing what you do and the value that you bring, that's absolutely key and critical in marketing disruption. So think about where there's maybe a little bit of slack, a little bit of unnecessary use of resources, and then making those things simple. So anything that you can spot that's complex that you can just do a little improvement of, Well, you're starting to disrupt stuff. So it doesn't necessarily have to be jumping straight into a big rebrand with this amazing new kind of opportunity. It can be starting small and starting small and seeing how, you know, that feels and seeing how people respond. Because culturally, sometimes you can find disruption is a little bit of an unsettling thing for many organizations because they're not used to it. So starting small with simplification, you can see instant gains as you make complex things simple. Principle three is agility. I like this one because this is where the small players can suddenly become, you know, really competitive against the big guys. Being agile, so testing, learning, and iterating rapidly, in other words, constantly re-improving, constantly regenerating, constantly re-innovating is key to this. So being light, fleet of foot, not dwelling and over planning, but just testing, learning, and then moving on. Continuous improvement is a phrase that, if you've listened to my stuff before, you'll know I'm really passionate about. Just these little incremental gains have been proven time and again in so many different industries to make the profound differences over time. So be agile. Don't overthink this. Don't overplan it. You've got to do enough to make it confident and to make yourself, you know, confident enough that, you know, when you do something, it's kind of okay because we've got the evidence to back it up. You need to be at that level, but then stop, just do something, make the change, make it happen, monitor and watch what works, and then continuously improve and improve upon that new situation. So principle three, agility is a great way of disrupting the market, but also your own marketing. And principle four is collaboration. So leveraging partnerships, ecosystems, and even in some industries, crowdsourcing. So getting your crowd, your customers, your stakeholders on side to be part of this. You know, a lot of the time, in particularly B2B, customers love to be part of a regeneration, part of a rethinking, because they feel heard, they feel valued, they feel part of the solution that you're crafting. And you'd be amazed that people will devote significant resources and time and energy in your direction if they feel like they're being bought into, they're being taken seriously, they're being listened to. So it's a great way of building those kind of customer relationships at the same time as disrupting and changing things up. And what is not to like? If you're a customer and you're part of a market disruption or even a marketing sort of supply chain disruption, imagine how that feels as a customer. You're not going to go to a competitor organization. Because you were part of this change. So you are actually then consciously and subconsciously buying into the long-term relationship with that brand. So collaboration, making people feel part of the solution, is such a powerful way of approaching this. And that's all about open, honest, authentic communication. So doing things in partnership and leveraging those relationships is absolutely key. So I would suggest, I mean, looking at all four, yeah, absolutely, but I would suggest maybe beginning with one or two of those. So you could do them in unison. So you could do collaboration with agility. You could do collaboration with simplification. You could do customer centricity with simplification. So making maybe a complex customer journey more simple. That might actually solve some problems of just over, you know, over noise within an industry because you just cut through. You just give value far, far quicker than the competition. So, you know, you can combine these principles really effectively, and that can be very good. And what I've talked about here in lots of ways is actually trying to disrupt your overall customer journey or sales funnel. So if we look at the disruptive marketing funnel, where you might be using the AIDA sort of principle here or the model, and you can take a disruptive perspective for that. So you can look at how are we going to disrupt how we get attention? How are we going to disrupt deeper into the journey where, you know, the customer's now interested and how we keep their interest and foster that interest through education, inspiration, and building that confidence. How do we look at the way that they actually then desire the outcomes that we're promising through working with our products and services? And how do we help them to take action? in a disruptive kind of way? Could we, do something more slick digitally? Could we create an app that just puts the whole solution in the palm of their hand, for example? We're not reinventing the wheel here. We're working here with proven models, traditional models, and then what we're doing is kind of just making them more slick. We're actually improving them continuously to make them more, more accessible, more engaging, more obvious. And so we're cutting to the core of what the need is, and then we're serving to that need, and in a very, very clear way. And so in many ways, when we think about market disruption, it is about, yes, making the noise, being different, being a little bit controversial. When your competitors look at it, it's like, oh no, I wish we'd spotted that. That's the kind of reaction you want from your competition. But in many ways, all of this can be summarized as being personalization at scale. Because really, what we're looking to do here is find where those quick wins are and make the customer, as part of this disruption, feel like they are the most special person on the planet, that we are taking them so seriously that we completely understand them. And actually, in lots of ways, we're defining and talking about market disruption as being just optimal marketing. We're not really talking about anything different to what we probably should have been doing as a marketer from day one. But so few organizations think this way. So there's a competitive edge here about doing this stuff in the best possible way. So it's nothing really new, but the mindset is new. And I think for me, that's the key here. This is not new stuff in terms of just ways of thinking about stuff, but it's the mindset, it's the attitude, it's the focus that is new. And this is what is not happening in most sectors for most organizations. So there are things that you can see. If you look at some of the key frameworks for disruption, the Clayton Christensen one, the disruptive innovation theory we've talked about briefly. There's the jobs to be done, the JTBD model as well. And there's also one that is very, very popular in marketing consultancies, and a lot of the big consultancy firms use this one, which is Blue Ocean Strategy. It's about creating, as I mentioned to you before, that example that I experienced in the telecom world of creating uncontested market space. So actually thinking, and a lot of organizations actually did this. Well, maybe not a lot, but certainly the successful ones actually through lockdown back in the COVID years. A lot of them were using the word pivot. Let's pivot. So in other words, we have this kind of form of things that we do. We have systems, we have processes, we've got capabilities, we've got some kind of real specialisms in our business here. And it doesn't necessarily mean we always have to then use them in this same way. If we were to pivot, if we were to face in 90 degree different direction, would there be something over there that we could use these skills and experience and expertise to solve problems over there? And that's kind of blue ocean strategy. So it's looking for a new space in which you can take the skills, the experience, the expertise, the wisdom, the thought leadership, the knowledge, the people that you have, all of those things that make you unique as an organization, and point them in a different direction. Now, how exciting could that be? Because actually, what you're doing is you're opening up a new market that didn't exist before. So who's number one in that market on day one? Well, it's you, because it's an uncontested market space. So there is no competition. So anybody who says, oh, well, our competitors always are ahead of us, oh, they do this, and we watch them and we get that sinking feeling. Well, wake up then. As a marketing person, a marketing team, you can do better. There is no way anybody on this planet should be feeling that about the competition. You shouldn't be, because you've got a unique set of skills and experience that gives you an opportunity to create an uncontested market space. Now, it might not be complete blue ocean. It might not be somewhere completely different that you're going to move to. It could be an evolution, but you need to change things up. And then the competition will eventually, yeah, they might decide that's a good idea. We could do that too. And of course, then they'll come in and they'll chase you and they'll try and be as good as you. But who was there first? Who are the customers going to remember? Who have already got the relationships formed? Well, it's you. So there's a massive strategic, and this is why I'm saying it is about strategy, a massive strategic value to doing this. And it is. I mean, we're going to talk about some practical strategies now to do this stuff. So it is about reimagining your value propositions. I mean, a great example, think of Slack. You know, most of us have heard of or have used Slack over the years, but think about how they changed internal communication. What did they do, and what can you do as a result of thinking about Slack as a case study? Well, they identified the job to be done. They reassessed the pain points in the existing solutions available, and then they developed innovative solutions to meet those needs uniquely. So it was a little step-by-step process that they did, and look how well they've done. They get bought out, they get, huge growth, there's always new services coming through, a very profitable organization now by reimagining how people want to connect internally. So there's a lot of stuff that Slack doesn't do, but that's fine because they have created this new space into which they can dominate because they've reinvented themselves. Next, a case study I just wanted to mention to you is to basically a great example to unleash tech-driven creativity. So think of Sephora. We're all aware of in marketing circles the Sephora brand, very innovative, and they worked basically to create Sephora's visual artist, which has transformed the beauty shopping experience. If you haven't looked this up, have a look at it because this is really unleashing tech-driven creativity, which is strategy number two. What could you do by being tech-driven? Are there things that your services could be engaged or sort of combined with so that you can actually then emerge on the other side in something that is absolutely mind-blowingly unique? So Sephora did this. They analyzed emerging technologies. They built rapid prototypes to test a new customer experience through a variety of digital platforms and apps. And then they implemented data-driven strategies to measure the impact. So what they do is they put analytics and insights embedded into everything that they launch so they know what features are being used, what things get used first before the other things. So whilst the visual experience, the actual beauty shopping experience is great from the customer's perspective, it's data and evidence-driven from behind. So when you create something that is tech driven, if you're going to disrupt your marketplace, be really clear that you're going to be measuring every single thing that moves. So it isn't just about the front end. As marketers, we love a front end, don't we? We love that kind of, oh, here's the customer experience. But don't forget the bits that sit behind, because you want to know how that amazing customer experience on the front end is actually being used, how it's actually working. And that's what Sephora did in that example. Another great practical strategy to create market disruption is to innovate with ecosystem partnerships. This is the Red Bull partnership strategy. And as we know, Red Bull, if you see any extreme event from high diving to aerobatic aircraft to surfing to skateboarding to anything that has an extreme element within sports, Red Bull are in partnership with it. So they have, as part of this ecosystem approach, they've created and mapped out every single potential partner that could be relatable to their brand focus. And then they've developed mutually beneficial value propositions in line with them. So there's sponsorship going in, there's sponsorship coming out, there's partnership value in one direction, there's Red Bull's basically brand partnership value coming back to them as well. And what they're doing here, really importantly, and this is the key to this one, is they engage in co-creation and audience sharing. So that is why every time you see any extreme event in sports, you know you're going to see the Red Bull brand. So it is just there because they're co-creating content, they're sharing the audiences, they're doing then marketing campaigns and activities in both directions. And so the partners are also doing it, supported by Red Bull, sponsored by Red Bull, but it also works in the other direction as well. So as a customer, as a viewer, even as a participant of these sports events, you just know that Red Bull is part of it. You just know that Red Bull is there. You know that these actually are kind of co-created as Red Bull events, but this is all about extreme innovative ecosystem partnerships. So, from your perspective, who would you like to associate with? Not who have you associated with in the past, who would you like to now going forward? This is, again, innovation, opening up new opportunities to do things differently, not being sort of clouded or restricted by the barriers that you've had so far. Can you imagine Red Bull being restricted? No, of course not. So using partnerships in a really creative way can move your game forward beyond, you know, anything that you've ever dreamed of before. So those three sort of practical strategies are ways, again, to get started with these models. And so the step-by-step approach, if you want to do this stuff, is to go along these five steps and make a note of these, because these will be the way to implement and to even simply get started in a market disruption strategy. First thing is to conduct a market analysis to uncover gaps. You've got to know where those gaps are. If you don't do that bit first, you could be just, you know, shooting, you know, blanks, or you could be just, you know, sort of doing a what we might call a shotgun approach, where, you know, all the pellets just get scattered into the air and you don't really know where you're going to be focusing. But conducting a market analysis will allow you then to uncover gaps that you can then laser focus into. Point two in steps to implement a market disruption strategy is to create a customer-centric disruption hypothesis. Now, that's a big glamorous title for let's get specific. Let's make sure that we put the customer at the heart of this. Is the customer going to benefit? Is the customer going to perceive us positively? Is the customer going to get more value from us doing strategically this disruption? And so what we're doing is we're putting, and the word hypothesis means we're going to be putting together some statements, and these are statements of intent. This is, it's not kind of your objectives or goals at this stage. It's much more, this is who we want to be. This is where we want to take this. And these things can change. The whole idea of a hypothesis from a science perspective is it's there to be shot down. It's there to be challenged. It's there to be critiqued. So at the start, you want to make sure your disruption hypothesis is, this is kind of where we want to pivot to, or this is what we're going to laser focus in and become the world-class organization in this particular area. So it could be an evolution, doesn't have to be a revolution. But it's really important to have some statements of intent, because that's the kind of thing that will get others as well on board in your organization. Step three then in our plan here is to develop a minimum viable product. This is an MVP. And this is what I'm saying about don't overthink or overdo this. Get something that's at a minimum level to just get out there and test and see what happens. So if, for example, you were going out there with a bit of a rebrand, for example, maybe you tested at a very small, local, discrete level with a very specific sort of focused target audience that isn't everybody. Maybe it's a small percentage of your overall audience. And then you test out this new kind of branding. You could do it with a product. MVP, minimum viable product, is something that we use a lot in product development. So you don't take your product to 100% complete. You go to kind of 60, 70% complete. And generally, that's close enough to give you some really good customer feedback if you were to take it to a focus group, for example. So those are approaches that are really important here. You've got to remain agile. Remember I said about that whole being agile thing? That's what you need to do with your MVP, your minimum viable product. Point four then is test, measure, and iterate rapidly. We've talked about this before, but I just want you to remember that this is all about being sharp, focused, and, you know, really, really quick. So you need to be testing. So really actively listening. You put something out there, you watch forensically what happens, then you measure it, you analyze it, you evaluate it, and then you change and you move this thing on. So it's those little incremental gains, those little moments, those little 1% improvements that over time build up to a complete disruption. So it's often that you can actually do this under the radar, so that only the people you want to notice will notice. And of course, you don't want the competition to notice. So doing things and testing them and measuring and then changing very, very rapidly doesn't give the competition time to either notice, or even if they do notice, to replicate and do what you're doing. They won't have time and they won't have the resources available, because you're going to catch them unawares. Remember the word disruption? Clue is in the name. And then the final point in our steps to implementing this market disruption strategy is to scale successfully by building a flexible, agile team. Now, a lot of this stuff I've been talking about in the kind of the one-to-one sense, so me telling you personally, so that you can think about this and whether it's relevant for you. But very quickly, alongside that whole ecosystem approach that Red Bull have taken in their kind of partnership building, is you're going to need to think, who do I need to get on board here? If I think this is a good idea and I want to suggest this to my boss, or I want to do this for my team, or I want to do this for our brand because I'm in a more senior position, I can do this sort of stuff without too much of a sign-off required, then I need to get a team around me. So wherever you are, seniority or particular role, you need to start talking to people. If you believe this is a good idea and you've got the evidence to demonstrate that, start by building a flexible, agile team around you and get like-minded souls. Don't get people who are going to necessarily just try and shoot everything down, but you also do need to have some kind of voices of reason. So you want to have some kind of sensibility in there. So you don't want to have just everybody who are kind of, yes, let's do it kind of people, because you'll get just swept along and that'll probably be too fast and too agile. So you need to balance your team around you. So get some people who are a little bit questioning, but are still positive. You know, the kind of people who I'm talking about. And if you can balance those five steps, that will give you the core of your strategy to start to then build and test out some of the principles that we've been talking here in a way that suits you. Now, obviously, in this session, it's a very fast session to talk about such a profoundly important thing to do. So I want to just give you some additional kind of reading and podcasts that if you decide that this is something for you and you'd like to challenge kind of how your business is, or your organization has done stuff to date, the additional reading, I would suggest reading these four books, or at least tracking down some of the summaries of them. Blue Ocean Strategy, The Innovator's Dilemma, that's Clayton Christensen again. Hacking Growth is a good one, because of course the whole hacking sort of principle here kind of applies. Again, that's about doing lots of little small things and doing them fast. And also Marketing Rebellion, The Most Human Company Wins by Mark Schaefer is another good book to have a little read if this disruption thing is starting to feel like your thing. Easy to consume podcasts that can also be sort of really useful to go over here. Marketing Over Coffee is a good one. The CMO Podcast and Business Wars are also good ones to look at. And if you just want to be disruptive and you just want to listen to a disruptor, a guy who I've interviewed a couple of times on my podcast, Rob Moore, is an A-list disruptor. I have to say, he is the disruptive entrepreneur, and he has a podcast called The Disruptive Entrepreneur. And he is all about disruption mindset. So if you want to have a little listen to him, he's also very, very good. And I'll leave you with the quote. I'll leave you with just the thought that the marketers who embrace disruption today will shape the markets of tomorrow. The marketers who embrace disruption today will shape the markets of tomorrow. This stuff is not going to go away. It's an opportunity that's available to all of us in marketing, business development, sales, content creation. And you just get a feeling. Now, I've opened this Pandora's box of opportunity that if you don't go and do it, somebody else in your sector might become aware and might go and do it. So I would much rather that it was you that's doing it. So I would encourage you, if you can find some time and space, that you will see the long-term and maybe even the medium-term benefit of disrupting your market and your marketing. So I wish you every success as you do it. Connect with me, ask questions at Neil Wilkins X or neil@marketingcollege.com. If there's anything, and you're watching this either on live here today, or you're watching this or listening to this on catch up, if there's any questions that you've got or any other ideas or any direction that you want, do let me know. I'd love to hear, hopefully in the medium to longer term, a great example that I can share where I said, oh yeah, we were on that webinar together, and now there's a great example, and it's actually your example. I'd love to share that. So if you do start to make some really good progress in this space, let me know. be great to use you as an example for maybe a future market disruption webinar. So thank you for coming along today. Hope you found that interesting and useful. Remember those strategies. Remember to make a start. Remember to stay agile.